Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Sunny Marymeadow podcast. I'm your host, Liz Fidler, and today we are going to talk about flower coolers and different solutions for coming up with what is going to be the right fit with your farm. And I'm going to give a little bit of backstory on what I use for a cooler, the types of flowers that I put in the cooler, how they help me run my farm really efficiently, effectively. But I am not the expert on coolers, so I have someone here that is. So we have Julia from Coolbot. And Coolbot is a very well-known company that specializes in cooling solutions for small businesses, including flower farms, vegetable farms, et cetera. So Julia, can you please introduce yourself?
Hello. Thank you for that warm welcome, Liz. My name's Julia DeGennaro. I am the Senior Sales and Marketing Manager here at Stork Cold, and we are the purveyors of the Coolbot, which, as you touched on, allows you to build your own walk-in cooler using the Coolbot controller. We also have turnkey units, which I'm sure we'll touch on here in a little bit, and dive into the wonderful world of walk-in coolers.
Full transparency, I reached out to Julia and was like, I think this is something that my listeners need to hear about, need to learn about, want to learn about. And I'm going to do another episode later on about, we're going to break down the numbers. I'm going to get a contractor. We're going to figure out like DIY versus a turnkey cooler, because we're not going to be able to cover all of that in this episode. So you guys know, so typically I write a pretty rough outline for my episodes and figure out how it's going to go. And I had to really kind of narrow this one down. So I'm like, oh, I have so many questions. So how long have you been with Coolbot? Like, I just want to learn a little bit about you before we jump in. Like, who is this Julia?
Absolutely. So again, my name is Julia. I'm based in Denver, Colorado. Our team used to be based all in Denver, but we have since scattered and we are a very small team. There's less than 10 of us, including our VP of sales and our CEO. So very small team, but we are working to make it happen. I've been with the company for about 7 years. What really interested me was that so many of the customers that we work with are kind of on the cusp of turning their daydreams into like a business idea. They are, I'm about to start my farm. Oh, my bakery is, you know, like my baking habits gotten so out of control. I've got a following now and I'm just about to open a bakery. I've dabbled in floral design and now is the time we're going to launch it. So kind of working with a lot of customers who are very inspirational, because as I said, they're kind of on the cusp of something big on their next step on their journey. So been loving connecting with all of our customers. Internationally, we've shipped Coolbots out to 70 different countries. We've worked with USAID and helping post-harvest loss in, you know, countries around the world. So we've got both domestic working with customers here and internationally as well. And yeah, it is truly because of the customers that I was drawn to this job and love working with them.
That is so cool that you mentioned that truly your product is something that I feel like separates the hobby grower to the business. Absolutely. I mean, that is a huge, huge step. So that is a great way. I'm going to just share a little bit about how I use my floral cooler and how it is absolutely instrumental in my business. Tulips, ranunculus, peonies, so many of those flowers. So my tulips, it's tulip harvest season right now. So it is April 18th. I grow in a high tunnel in Minnesota. We just had an episode come out last week. I talked about how I succession plant essentially. And people think succession plant means, you know, different planting different flowers, like different weeks. And sometimes that's what it can mean. But sometimes it's more like succession harvesting or succession blooming. Like I plant all of my tulips in the same couple of days, but I grow some in the high tunnel, some outside, some in a low tunnel with the high tunnel, different varieties, so that I can extend that bloom time, that harvest time over many, many weeks. So the high tunnels allow me to extend that when they're blooming. But if I didn't have my walking cooler, there's no way I could do a floral subscription because how do you have tulips available? So my spring subscription is 4 weeks of tulips and 2 weeks of ranunculus. And because of my walk-in cooler, I can, you know, it takes a lot of planning. Don't go for the low-hanging fruit. Like this beautiful variety I wanted to put in subscriptions week one because they're so pretty. And I'm like, no, these are long, sturdy stems. I know these are going to last in the cooler for 3 or 4 weeks. These are week four. These are not week one tulips. I gotta, you know, store them properly and stack them in the crates, keep them really dry on the bulb, and then, you know, use that cooler. So this cooler is what allows me to store my tulips and my peonies, right? So that's another flower that, you know, I have 1,000 peony plants. I'm just going to start getting to pick those this year, but I will be able to sell them over weeks instead of days because I have that cooler that can properly store them. In addition to not just those flowers that, you know, peonies and tulips that, you know, you have to pick at that certain perfect time, my Lysianthus, my snapdragons, that allows me to really batch my work. And I'm not picking fresh every single day. I can every 2 or 3 days because they have more of a forgiving picking window, basically. So every other day, we pick 6 buckets. We pick a couple rows of everything that's ready to go of snapdragons and then put it in the cooler and then use the oldest stuff first and rotate it like that. But having a cooler is so important, or you are literally picking on demand, making a bouquet, and it's just not an efficient or effective way to run a business at this volume. So a cooler, I'm not saying you got to have it, but if you're going to do, I couldn't do what I'm doing without it. I would get so burnt out if I was picking on demand and didn't have the place to store it. And then, cause you got to sell them when they're blooming. Mm-hmm. I mean, otherwise what else do you do? So my cooler that I have, and Julia and I had a pre-call a couple of weeks ago and talked about it, but my cooler is at least 60 years old. There used to be a USDA inspected butcher shop here on our farm. And it's kind of like, oh, you got lucky. You had that. No, I kind of started a flower farm because I had that. Like, what do I do with this big walk-in cooler, this shop? So we turned it into the floral shop. And we're going to talk about different types of coolers. And then Julia's just going to kind of walk me through, okay, what do I need to be prepared to buy when this motor gives out? And actually, ironically, so my fiance, we call him Flower Farmer Fiance. He actually this morning had to bring it in because the fan quit on the motor. And again, it's tulip season, right?
Yeah.
Luckily, it was cold outside. The tulip got up, the cooler got up to 39 degrees. That was the highest it got. And then we got it back up and running again. But like, it was a little scary. It was a little touch and go. It was like, they didn't even charge us to fix this fan. But I'm like, we have to have a backup plan. Because if this thing quits, we are screwed. We are having a sale. I'm posting on Facebook saying tulips for sale because I have 4,000 tulips in there right now.
Oh,
like that's at retail. I mean, that's $8,000 for the tulips. Like,
yeah,
and it's going to be more. So I want to talk to you a little bit about, you know, what to do when mine quits because I already have the space. But before we get into that, can you just tell us a little bit more about different types of coolers, walk-in coolers, reach-in coolers, portable cooling units. And I know that your coolers can be used for bakeries, commercial refrigerator, that type of thing too. But I think, you know, for the topic of this, you know, coolers that are used for storage of flowers or a lot that are customer facing, like there's a lot of little farm stands that sell more than just flowers, but they keep the flowers in the cooler and then they have their honey and their whatever, their homemade soaps or whatever it is that they make, like in their little farm store, the flowers are in a cooler. So I'll let you take it away from there.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and the cooler options that I'm going to discuss, and this is for, you know, yourself, Liz, and anyone else who's listening to this, all of this information can be found on our website. Our website is a wealth of knowledge and will guide you through how to build a cooler, whether that be a standalone, like shed style cooler, or a mobile cooler, or doing a retrofit. So on our website, what you'll find there are DIY guides and videos that we can help you with. So we'll start with kind of your cooler first. What would be what we hear from some customers are like, hey, I'm in a pickle. I have a commercial style compressor, and it has kicked the bucket. It's going to cost me thousands of dollars to fix. What can I do? If you have insulated panels that are in still good working condition, we can help you size the correct AC to hook up a CoolBot and get yourself running up and running again. Most of our customers build coolers, either indoor or outdoor coolers in their space. We work with a lot of people who will convert a shed into a walk-in cooler, or we work with a lot of hunters who only need a cooler for, you know, a couple of months, and they can corner out a section of their garage and just build a, you know, a indoor cooler for their needs. So we've got information on that as well. Region coolers, we don't often see those too much. We see those a lot in the case of customers reaching out saying, my compressor died. The region coolers call our team just to make sure that we have enough BTUs to service or to keep that space cool. Glass has a very low R value, and we can go into R values in insulation later. But glass has a very low R value. So we find that sometimes you just need to bump up how many BTUs you are installing in that cooler.
Nice. So, okay, let's talk about, you know, if my specific cooler. So my cooler is like a, I think it's seven, it's big. It's like 7 by 14, and, you know, have the big stainless steel everywhere. What would you even start, you know, recommending? Yeah.
So after you're done crying that your cooler has stopped working, yes. You can give us a call or pop on our website. So we'll need to do a couple of things for a retrofit. The first is going to be sizing the AC that you'll need for your space. So we need to understand how many BTUs you'll need for that cooler. Our website has an AC sizing calculator. You pop over there, put in your dimensions, and it will tell you how many BTUs you need. So that would be step one.
As
step
a rule two, of thumb, oh, yeah. I'm gonna question real quick. As a rule of thumb, so if that space is, you know, 7 by 12, that many square feet, I'm guessing I need a stronger AC than just that.
Off the top of my head, you would probably need an 18,000 or 24,000 BTU mm-hmm. AC. So that's going to be one of the larger ones.
Yeah. Yep. In my old farmhouse, we had window AC. So it's like understanding, you know, okay, this one's for 5,000. Like, no, you're going to need a lot stronger because obviously I need to run this at 35 degrees, not 60 degrees.
Can I sidetrack into more of how the CoolBot works? So the CoolBot is not asking your AC to work any harder than it normally would in your household setting. So you said you had window ACs at home. If you've ever stood in front of that AC after you've programmed it down to its lowest temperature setting, which is usually 60 degrees, mm-hmm. you know that that AC is pumping out much colder air than the 60 degrees you set it to get to that set temperature. Correct. So that AC's got cooling capability. With the CoolBot installed, that becomes your controller. So you're no longer using the controls on the AC or on the AC's remote. You're doing everything on the CoolBot and programming it down to 36, 35 degrees, wherever you need to be. So once you've programmed that, we've got a couple of checks in place to make sure that AC doesn't freeze up. We've got a room sensor that, as the name suggests, is going to tell the temperature of the room, of your cooler. We have a fin sensor that goes directly into the fins of the AC. That's going to tell the CoolBot if you are getting any ice on the fins. That's going to prevent any ice ups. And then the last sensor is the heater, which you connect directly to the temperature sensor of the AC. And that's going to tell the AC, hey, you haven't reached your set temperature. Keep pumping out cold air, and it will continue to do so. So with all of that in place, plus your well-insulated room, you've got your walk-in cooler. And that's a question we get from a lot of customers. Like, well, I use a window AC in my house. What is going to be the difference here? The walls in your home are maybe insulated to R10. when you're building a cooler, you need to be to at least R25, which is standard in a traditional walk-in cooler. So you're holding on to that cold air that the AC is pumping out. So yes, on the question of BTUs, and this another thing that people will say is they'll be like, well, I looked at the window AC at my local hardware store, and it said that, you know, it can cool this much square footage, but you're telling me that I need so many more BTUs for a smaller space. And the reason for that is what you see on the window ACs, like on the box saying it will cool this space, that's for a temperature of like 70 degrees. And we're going to be asking the AC to go to its lowest setting, which is going to be 60. But again, we know that AC is pumping out much colder air to get to your set temperature.
Got it.
Taking a quick break from the episode to talk about QuickBooks. I used to use a payroll company because I W-2 my employees, because if you're in Minnesota, you know that you can't get away with just 1099-ing someone when they should be W-2 because of all the new sick and safe laws. So having an established payroll system in place is your best bet, and I do it all through QuickBooks. I used to pay this company like $70 a month, and I still had to send the amounts and the hours to them, and QuickBooks just does it for you. It would take me 10 minutes to send that email, and now it takes me 25 minutes total. I mean, there's my $70 a month that I used to pay this accounting firm. So the best part is my employees can handle all of it on their end, entering their personal information, like their social security number, their bank account, all of that, and I don't have to ever see it. So I cannot stress enough how great QuickBooks is if you need to do a payroll. So head to the episode notes and you will get an exclusive 30% off for 6 months offer if you use my code. This is 20% off more than you will ever find on the regular website. So make sure you use my code. Thanks.
So you were asking about how many BTUs off the top of my head, I think for that size cooler to reach your temperatures, because you keep your cooler at, you said
36.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Cool. Yeah. So it'd probably be an 18,000 BTU or 24,000 BTU. So once you've figured out that size of AC that you're going to need, you're going to check our AC compatibility list. All brands are not equal. Mm-hmm. Our preferred brand of AC is LG. They work great and they pair easily with the CoolBot. Of course, with that said, not everybody can get an LG. So on our website, we've got a list of supported brands and other brands that we advise you stay away from. Mm-hmm. So now that you've got figured out the size of your AC, the brand of your AC, once you've secured that AC, visit our website and you can purchase a CoolBot or a CoolBot Pro. The difference between those two, our CoolBot Pro is our newer Wi-Fi enabled model. So if you are setting your cooler up somewhere where you have a Wi-Fi connection, you will be able to remotely monitor your cooler, check the temperatures, get critical alerts if you experience a power outage, if your cooler gets too hot, or if your cooler gets too cold, you can check it remotely from your phone, tablet, or laptop.
Awesome.
I mean, yes.
for sure. And especially now, there's so many other options for Wi-Fi. I mean, you could get one of the boxes from Verizon and, you know, like, okay, yeah, that's, you know, $25 a month or whatever. Yeah, I mean, that peace of mind to me.
Yes, that, like, peace of mind.
That peace of mind and not have to, you know, go out there and check on it and...
Yeah. And worry about your full cooler. Yeah. So that was, we worked on adding those Wi-Fi capabilities after just hearing a lot of customer request. You know, it's obviously, we know the technology is there, right? Why can't we apply it to the CoolBot? So we launched that a couple years ago and people can use it. They will absolutely go with that. We realize that some people, you know, if they're off the grid or a little bit mm-hmm. further away, the Wi-Fi capability would set to reach, I think we can do like 25 feet. So if your cooler is not necessarily right next to your house or closer to your internet router, mm-hmm. there's some wiggle room there. So yep, figuring out if you want that CoolBot Pro or the standard CoolBot, they both work the same. They're both going to keep your set temperature. The only difference is that Wi-Fi capability. Once you've got that and your AC, in your case of doing a retrofit, you can leave the existing compressor in the cooler. If you want it removed, it should be done professionally because of the Freon. Yep. So most people just opt to leave it in there, cut a hole in the side of your cooler and pop that AC in there, hook up the CoolBot, and we could have you back up and running on your retrofit.
Good to know. Good to know. Yeah. There we go.
That's what I mean, obviously I hope your cooler doesn't give you any stress. I hope it, exactly. But when you do reach out saying that you need to launch that retrofit, we will be here for you.
Yes. Perfect. I will put links to everything in the notes, and we're not done yet. Like we're not done. Usually I say links in the notes and okay, see you later. Like, no, we're not done talking.
It's a lot of information.
Yes. That would be how you would retrofit in case of an emergency.
Yes. Or if, as I noted, we'll hear from customers because the compressor has gone out and it's going to cost thousands and thousands of dollars to fix, or it's going to take 2 weeks before, an HVAC technician can come out and look at it. That's usually when we're hearing from people who are doing a retrofit. The other case there is someone has sourced their own panels. You can do that at used restaurant equipment stores. It'll save you the step of having to insulate your space. So if you can source those panels, sometimes restaurants or other food and beverage businesses will just sell the panels because it's so costly to replace that compressor that they just want to offload the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And they'll just buy their own new cooler. So if you can source your own panels, that will definitely save you a step in having to go the DIY build route.
Transforming a standard air conditioner into, a small scale cooler. Let's talk a little bit about, if you were starting from scratch and you were building a cooler. And like I said, I think, breaking down the pre-made turnkey versus the other one, that's going to be a whole episode that I want to like really dive into. But let's just kind of get to the basics of, humidity, those types of things. Like, what does CoolBot recommend from there?
So talking about where to set up your cooler, if you're building your own cooler or if you're purchasing one of our turnkey units, you can go inside or outside. If you've got a space in your garage, you can do that. It's really wherever you can set up your cooler, whatever works for you. That's a nice thing about using the CoolBot as well, especially if you're starting ground up. If you're like, hey, I only have an 8x8 space in my warehouse for this, cool. Let's help you build an 8x8 cooler. We can absolutely work with that. If you need to put it outside because your inside space is limited, no problem. We recommend when you build it, if you could be on a shadier side, not direct sunlight, if you can work with those parameters, that would be best. As far as questions around humidity, what a lot of our florists that we've worked with have said is that humidity levels, just because a lot of people have a lot of open buckets with water, they stay pretty level. We get a lot of questions about humidity on the outside of the cooler. Like, hey, is the AC going to drip if I set this up in my space? Is it, am I going to see any water out the back? That completely depends on the outside environment that you've set your cooler up in. We've talked to farmers and florists down in Florida. Yes, it's more humid. So yes, they do see a little bit more condensation out of the back of their AC versus where I am in Denver, Colorado. When we had our cooler at our office, we hardly saw any condensation. But as far as the humidity environment within the cooler, it's pretty on par with what you would find in a standard walk-in cooler. And as I said, especially with floral, because there are so many open containers of water, the humidity levels kind of stay up.
Yeah. And that makes sense. And that's helpful. I mean, right now my tulips, I don't want a ton of moisture in there. I mean, it's a catch-22 because I'm dry storing them. And so I need to really make sure there is no water on them, but I wash them off first and then bundle them up, let them completely dry. Because if there's any water on the tulips, it will turn to mold. So I got to be careful with that factor in there. So I think, I'm always trying to be so mindful about, especially this time of year when I'm in and out of the cooler, because there are tulips that are breaking off. So some of those are in buckets of water, but I'm going in and out as I'm making bouquets. But I I mean, 36 is, I keep it there just because I actually just listened to a podcast a couple weeks ago that just came out that is like shaking the floral flower farmer industry. It's hilarious. Everyone's like texting about it and it's all over these like Facebook groups. But there was an expert who talked about dry storing your tulips and freezing them. He's like, you can freeze them at 30 degrees. You can dry store them without the bulb. And we're all just like, no, I don't know. And he has his PhD in whatever. And he's a flower farmer himself. And he's done this forever. And same thing with the peonies, like freezing them. But he's like, the problem is like, it can't get up to 35 degrees for an hour. Like they have to stay at that cool. And we're all just like, you know, I think I'm just going to keep them on the bulb. Like, I don't know. And so they're talking about dry storing them off the bulb for weeks at a time. I don't know. It gives me palpitations to think about freezing them. And
I mean, I hate when we get calls, our customer support team gets calls from people who are like, I'm having ice up issues, or like my commercial cooler froze all my stuff. Like, what can, you know, how can you help me? Now, we do work with a lot of peony farmers up in Alaska. And in speaking with them, I know they keep it real cold, but they don't go past freezing.
Yep.
And the CoolBot is not capable of freezing. We can only maintain refrigeration temperatures. So we can get you down to 34 and such, but we're not, no freezing here.
Yeah. And especially, I mean, if the flowers are in buckets of water, and anyway, it's a really like, this episode from this other podcast is like just shaking up. Like my group texts are like, what are you going to do? I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. And I am fortunate that my cooler is huge, right? I can fit in my crates. I can fit 80 to 100 tulips on the bulb, you know, laid perfectly stored. And I can stack those crates so high. I mean, I could literally store 6,000 tulips on the bulb in my cooler in the back two thirds and still have, like, I have this huge cooler. Again, it used to be a butcher shop with a meat market and all of that stuff right on my farm. So I have a big walk-in cooler. Yeah. The freezing part and that's part of it. But I think the peace of mind with the Wi-Fi and all of that would be, so let's talk about like wait times, stuff like that. I know that this is a big investment, like I said, for flower farmers, but it's, I mean, I just did a couple months ago, I did a 3-part mini series on how I would start with a flower farm with $100, $1,000, $10,000. And in the $10,000 episode, I said, I know everyone wants a high tunnel because then you can grow the more expensive flowers. You can have ranunculus, you can do that season extension. And I think it's this like, I have a high tunnel. I'm a real flower farmer. You know, you look out in the field and see the high tunnel, but I'm like, I would not invest in a high tunnel before you have a cooler. Like you need a cooler before you have a high tunnel, even though it's hard to see because if you don't have one, and I know a lot of studio florists or whatever might not have one that do event work because their flowers are being presented on day of, right? So that you don't have to be, you could very well have a successful business without a cooler, but when you are the one flower farming and you have to hold it, then it's pretty much a non-negotiable for the most part.
Yeah, absolutely agreed. Or when, if, you know, for the person who is presenting their flowers day of, if they want to expand that business, definitely having cold storage is a key component to that. So as far as like lead times, cost, if you are going the DIY route, you would need to make probably a couple of visits to your local hardware store to purchase insulation to insulate the space. Obviously, if you're building it, you'd need to frame out your space, source your AC. We've got CoolBot Pros and CoolBots in stock. You can order those off of our website today. If you're looking at our turnkey units, and those are the insulated panels plus AC plus CoolBot Pro shipped directly to you, I think we're running about 2 or 4 weeks on lead time, and that constantly changes. So check with us. We can give you the most up-to-date quote on lead time there. But if you're building your own, that's going to depend on how much time and effort you want to put into it and what speed you want to go. As I mentioned on our website, we've got a step-by-step video outlining how to build a cooler. That was us, our team. Again, we're a very small team. That was us at our old office. So that was an 8x8 cooler. It took us a weekend to build. There was a lot of start and stopping because obviously we got to, okay, line up the shot because we were making an educational build video. But for kind of a time reference there, that's what it took us.
Yeah, I'm glancing at your website right now. And yeah, there's literally a how-to tab, how to build a cooler.
Yes.
How to build the trailer cooler, how to insulate
yes.
the room, how to install your cool butt. That's wonderful. I had no idea that CoolBot was such a small company too.
And people,
you never know. I'm like, oh, 10 people. Okay, sweet.
Yeah,
so there's Julia. So when you watch the video, you just got to meet 10% of the company.
Yeah. Hello, we're here. And if you call us, we've got 4 great agents running our customer support line. So they're always happy to talk. One of our options on our call prompts is literally brainstorming. So if you're like, oh, I heard the podcast, I looked at the website, but I still have a multitude of questions, just give us a call. We're happy to talk it out with you and answer any questions you might have. Because we've realized there are a lot of questions. It's kind of a crazy idea, like me telling you that all you need is this cool bot and an AC and you'll get a walk-in cooler. We've realized that, you know, there are a lot of questions that come out from that, but we've sold over 100,000 units and we've got a bunch of happy customers. Again, on our website, you can check out customer testimonials from florists. I am grateful that we have such a loyal and dedicated customer base. As soon as we get tagged in a lot of floral coolers and such, I'll always reshare them on our social media so you can check out, take a peek at some other flower coolers there.
Yeah. And I'm excited. Like I said, we're going to do a whole other breakdown episode of like the actual cost of materials to build it, you know, try to figure out the time, you know, DIYing versus a turnkey, you know, a full-size walk-in cooler that comes already done. I know a flower farmer, so I have a course called Peddling Perishable Products. So 26 farmers have gone through this course so far. We did one in the fall, one in the spring, and I'll do one again next fall. And it's a pretty in-depth, like there's a private podcast for Q&A. So it's a smaller group. It's not a hundreds of people taking this course. It's like, nope, these people that are serious and want to, you know, really dive deep. And I was so proud of my friend Eliza from Verna Farm. And she's like, yep, I bought a full-size walk-in turnkey because I don't have time because this is what my time is worth. I'm like, oh, I love you. Like, you learned so much, you know, and it's just, anyway, so for her, it was a good option, but I'm excited to really like break that down because sometimes, you know, and I would imagine, I mean, let's call a spade a spade. I'm sure there's one option that's more profitable for you as a company, but yet whatever works for the customer, sweet. Like if they're going to build, you know, get a full size walk-in compared to, you know, building their own, it totally depends on what the option is. And if they're building within an existing building versus, like we said, putting a full size walk-in cooler outside of your shed, outside of your space. Sometimes that's the better option.
Yeah. And again, grateful for our very loyal customer base. Those turnkey units came about after we did a customer survey. I think it was 6 years ago. We went out to our existing customer base and said, hey, what do you love about your CoolBot? What don't you like about your CoolBot? Like, give us some feedback. And a resounding amount of people came back and said, I love my CoolBot. I never want to build a cooler again.
Like, there we go.
So with that information, we're like, okay, well, what can we do? So then we started seeing what walk-in cooler companies we can work with to source panels, you know, and offer this turnkey solution. Mm-hmm. You know, I hope, you know, if people watch the videos of us building the mobile cooler, or if they watch videos of us building our shed style cooler know that there were many trips to the hardware store daily. Yes. And we get it. That's not, we have a solution. Could we, and with the DIY, but could we make it an even more approachable solution with the turnkey units? And we have mm-hmm. found that people really do, you know, some people don't have the time or the knowledge, which is fine. I didn't know how to build a shed. Like,
you know what? My XYZ, I don't know. I mean, the building that my cooler is in is about 80 years old. Like it's literally the walls are like bowing. And I think you've looked on my Instagram. It's on the other side of where the mural is, like the beautiful mural. I mean, the walls are like an S shape. It's so bad. And so we are looking at what we're going to do in the future. And we have this really big dairy barn that I think we're going to remodel and figure out. And I think we'll be able to build a new one. But I mean, if this, let's say the roof were to collapse on this building, I mean, it's not quite that bad, but one big storm, like I just need a walk-in cooler. Like I need a temporary solution for a year while I get my other option. And I think, you know, one thing I try to really highlight on this podcast, flower farming especially, it can be very low input cost in the beginning. It can be a lot of sweat equity. But once you are trying to turn it into a very, not even a very profitable business, I don't even want to say very profitable, I mean, sustainable, that makes sense to do. I mean, I just bought, there's a company called Tillmore, and I just bought a dibbler that goes behind my tractor, behind the tiller for my plugs of Lysianthus. And so literally it's going to take me an hour to plant an entire tunnel of Lysianthus or whatever it might be, or machines that, is there plugs versus seating your own trays, whatever it might be, mm-hmm. building a walk-in cooler versus just buying one already done. And this is a little bit different because oftentimes you're trying to maybe retrofit, but I love that you listened to the customers and that was something.
Absolutely. It was, you know, that's where a turnkey solution came from. That's where the Wi-Fi enabled CoolBot Pro comes from. And we absolutely love our customers. So when they're reaching out, if we're hearing the same thing over and over, we're absolutely going to look into that opportunity.
As long as I have you on here, you talked about it in the beginning. So I have this dream of remodeling this dairy barn and taking out half of the hayloft, and we're going to build this walk-in cooler that half of it is glass display. So you were talking about how like the insulation of glass and, you know, that type of thing. I'm assuming, you know, you're going to need like a certain type of patio glass sliding door or something like that. Or what does that, how much does that really affect that
cooler? Yeah. Good question. So as I said, we recommend that you insulate your cooler to at least R25 at minimum. That is about 4 inches of insulation. That's what a commercial walk-in cooler needs to have to be insulated correctly, like government requirements. So if you've got glass, I think glass is like R1.5, like it does not hold much. The cold air likes to seep out. So in floral customers, or we have a lot of wine enthusiasts who like to build like a little wine cooler in their home with glass. If you've got like a wall of glass, on our website, we've got a recommendation on upsizing your AC, because what, you know, 4 insulated walls versus 3 insulated walls, you're going to need more BTUs to cool that space. So it is doable. We've got customers who do that. You just got to take a few extra steps.
Yeah, there we go. So everything is figure outable. Like that's...
Yes.
I had to laugh. So last night, actually my fiance, he was trying to like figure out the hot water heater out there. He's very handy. He's very handy. And so he was out there and he's like, yeah, I noticed that the fan was clicking, so the cooler's not working. And right away I'm like, the cooler, like you just told me. He's like, yeah, I shut it off. And I was like, you shut it off, and you should have heard that. Because again, I have thousands of tulips in there right now, and there's going to be more coming every single day. And this is crunch time. I'm like, you shut it off. And he's like, yep. And it's going to be a low of 28 tonight. And like the door, like it's fine. The cooler is not, I'm like, you know, the cooler can't get above 38 degrees. And he's like, nope, it's not. Like, I'm checking on it. And he put a wireless thermometer out there and he was looking at it. And anyway, and he's like, I have it under control. And I'm like, how much do I need to worry about this? He's like, do not worry. I'm like, okay. And so then today he went and got this little fan thing fixed and knew exactly where to go. And I was like, okay, if there was ever a real problem, like, but that's why, just knowing who you have and knowing your resources and knowing, I'm like, on a scale of 1 to 10, what do I need to worry? He's like, don't. I'm like, okay, I trust you.
Amazing.
Know that if you're lying to me, I'm gonna kill you. Oh, poor Brent. So anything else that we didn't cover? Like I said, I really want to do a breakdown of build versus a turnkey and really do that in its own episode. But I'm just so appreciative of you coming on here and talking, because I actually had reached out to a few flower farmers, or I hadn't even reached out to them yet. I had lists of people that, okay, people that have DIY'd their own cooler, because we need to do an episode on a floral cooler. And then actually my podcast producer was like, why don't you just go to the source? I'm like, good idea. So we're Googling. I'm like, coolbot.com. Nope, it's yourcold.com. Anyway, and then I found Julia. So thank you.
Yeah, and here I am. No, and I'm grateful you reached out. I think the only other thing I wanted to talk on and touch on, because I'd gone to a floral conference a couple of years ago, and a lot of floral farmers didn't realize that this was an option, is the mobile cooler. You can insulate a little trailer.
Yes, and we need to talk about that.
Have a mobile cooler. So what again, guides online, video online, but at this floral conference there were two people who really stuck out. One was a woman who is just getting started on like selling bouquets and stuff, and she was operating out of her home. She's like, I absolutely have nowhere to put a cooler and I know I need one. And we kind of talked it through, and she's like, wait, I could park a trailer out and have it out front of my house, like that's doable. And all of a sudden something she thought was definitely not approachable was very approachable.
Well, and I think especially there's for someone that hauls their flowers,
yes,
to a place, someone that is, yes, gonna be selling on site, or I guess I can't fully speak to numbers, but I feel like they probably hold their resale value pretty well. And so if it's a temporary solution, I feel like you could
temporary solution or a group solution. We see that in agriculture. I'm going to take the cooler from one farm to another farm to another farm, and then I'm going to drop off everything at the farmer's market. Yeah, so for floral, if you can partner up with some people, you can all go and like have a little bit of this cooler. It's great if you, to your point, are doing on-site events. If you have everything on site and it's staying cold, it's definitely a great option. And you know, as I said, it kind of, for some people who are just getting started,
can it plug into the truck?
You would need an inverter. Yeah, an inverter or a generator. Yep. And we've got information on sizing a generator on our website.
But otherwise I'm assuming it'd be like a whatever, a 220 volt or whatever. The
depends on what size AC you've put in. But okay. Yeah. So that it's kind of, most people do build their own or go with a turnkey, but there is a little group that the mobile units really make sense. And you can, again, DIY it. We also have a partner in North Carolina who will do all the work for you if you don't have the time to do that.
Wow. That is, there we go. I thank you so much for adding that. I didn't even, like, my mind is spinning. I'm like, but if there's a peony farm, or if there's, you know, there's like a floral exchange where it's a wholesale market with a bunch of florists or a bunch of flower farmers come together and florists can shop it. And just, I mean, all of these different options, you know, how do you get the flowers here and everyone has to handle them? Well, you could pick up. Oh, my mind is spinning. So we'll be in touch.
Yes, absolutely.
Now I need it. I'm like, oh, okay. All right. All right. Well, thank you so much. I'm going to put all of your information on the episode notes. And we actually, by the time this episode comes out, we already have it up and running, but we now have a blog space on our website. So our website is sunnymarymeadowcoaching.com. But if you click on podcast blog, then we've got all of the episodes on there, a summary of what they are in written form, but then there's a search bar. So, you know, tulips or whatever it might be, we will link this to coolers. And so they'll be able to find everything on there of what you need to know about walking coolers. So thank you so much, Julia.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to the Sunny Mary Meadow podcast. We actually have a different website for you to go to now, and we are so excited. So sunnymarymeadow.com is still my flower farm and ways to come here and get flowers. But the podcast is going to be hosted on sunnymarymeadowcoaching.com. So make sure you head over there and check out the new blog section. That's right. We found a way to put every episode into written blog form, all of the links, and you can even search by topic to find all of the episodes there. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen, and please consider leaving a 5-star review so you can find it. You can find us on Facebook. Sunny Mary Meadow is still for the flower farm, but we have a group, Sunny Mary Meadow Podcast Flowerers, and that is the group for the podcast. And then, of course, Instagram at Sunny Mary Meadow is exactly where you're going to find everything. Thank you so much for listening.
Flowers, flowers, we love flowers. Sunny Mary Meadow, they smell so good. SunnyMaryMeadow.com.